The following production of the Banged Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Cleveland Browns bye week promotion, take one.
Sunday!
First empty stadium!
The factory of sadness!
For the first time this year, see the Cleveland Browns!
Not lose! This Sunday,
1 p.m.,
the Cleveland Browns
bye week
2017!
No players!
Be there!
No coaches!
Be there!
On empty fields!
Be there!
Don't miss what might be your
only chance this year!
See the Cleveland Browns!
Not lose!
We're called Cleveland for a reason. Go Browns!
The promotion does not guarantee the Browns will somehow not lose anyway.
Hum hum!
Bang Radio.
I am very happy to be here!
But stop it!
You like that?
Once you go deck, you don't go back.
Deck.
He's Jesus, bro!
Bang.
You know, we know what we're capable of. You know, have we shown it to the world yet? I don't think we have.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hold on. With Scrumble?
This is football!
Maybe there's a chance.
And now, here's John and Tom.
He grabbed him in a chokehold and slammed him to the ground.
I mean, they are AJ Green slammed Jalen Ramsey to the ground. I mean, picked him up and slammed him to the ground. He's got to be ejected.
I have never in all my years in the NFL seen a player do something so bad. A.J. Green grabs Jalen Ramsey around the neck, slams him to the ground, and Jalen Ramsey wasn't even fighting back.
A.J. Green just threw his helmet off.
A.J. Green should be ejected and suspended
without
for
a
weeks.
Doubt. The Bengals sideline is empty and trying to get A.J. Green under control.
And they're still going at it. There's more Jaguars going out. You got Adam Jones out there, which isn't a surprise.
I have never seen that in all my years around the National Football League ever.
Now you get off my lawn!
God damn it, I'm going to keep this ball the next time you put it in here.
He's never seen that? Who is this? Ray Charles is doing the game? Oh, wait, he's dead. So, yeah, it might be the same guy.
My God, we've seen it all. I've seen so much worse. I don't even understand.
Usually they, you know, Cortland Finnegan got his helmet pulled off and then got his ass beat by Andre Johnson. Remember that? That was the last time I saw a wide receiver go after somebody and actually hit him. And first off, I thought you were playing a bit from that Nature Boy 30 by 30 when we first started. I was waiting for the woo, you know.
I don't know. I remember Albert Haynesworth stomping on Andre Girard's head.
Right, and I remember him laying down on the field and taking a nap while Michael Vick was running around. Fat pig.
All right, yeah. I'm Tom, he's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 310. Coming up, Cam's history lesson.
Oh, that should be interesting.
The refs can't take a joke, John.
Oh, well, of course not.
No. High and bye.
Sounds like me before the end of the show.
This ain't no Ku Klux Klan pizza.
Oh, come on. Really? Give me a break. Really? What is white pizza, I ask you? Don't tell me that shit's from California. That's straight out of Mississippi.
Giant silence and more, but let's get back to A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey for a second. That was entertaining, I thought, number one.
I thought so, too. I thought that it was a complete bitch move by A.J. Green to go behind him like that and grab him like that. I mean, what was that? What was that? Was that a give-me-your-wallet move? What was he trying to do?
I was trying to figure that out, and I the only thing I got out of it, going back, if I'm trying to come up with a reason for that, other than it being a cheap shot, if it wasn't a cheap shot, if you watch AJ, he realizes, dude just shoved me. And it's like he almost thought about it, nope, I can't let him get away with that, and he turned around and did what he did. Now, you know, I don't understand. I don't know what he really did to him other than taking him to the ground because he starts throwing punches at his head. And again,
right.
We've talked about this. Why do you punch a helmet? It makes no sense to me.
Especially if you're a wide receiver whose hands are your living.
Exactly.
But, you know, we've all seen that idiot that's with us in the bar that gets into a fight just knowing that we'll all jump in or pull him away from whatever's going to kick the shit out of him real quick. So He jumps down like that. He's like, man, shit, he just jumped me, and Pac-Man's watching. I can't let him get away with that. That's Pac-Man over there.
Hold me back. Hold me back. No, really, really, hold me. Seriously, guys, hold me back.
I'm just going to punch you. He probably grabbed him around the neck. All right, look, man, you, why don't you fall down, and I'm just going to punch you in the head for a little bit. I'm just going to hit your helmet. It ain't going
to
be nothing.
Well, listen to Jalen Ramsey talking about it after the game. If you missed this, it was the cornerback for the Jaguars, Jalen Ramsey, and A.J. Green, wide receiver for the Bengals. And Ramsey, they were going at it the whole game. Ramsey then shoved him, and A.J. grabbed him in a chokehold and took him down, started punching him in the helmet, which was stupid. And, you know, yeah, they both got ejected. And here's Jalen talking about it afterward.
I told him almost every play that he was weak, that he was off. Them is straight facts. He just couldn't handle the truth. Them is facts. Told him that his time almost up. Told him that it was easy, which it was. He had one catch for 6 yards.
Whoa.
I was just out there spitting facts to him. So, I mean, I pushed him every single play. We can go back and look at the film. I pushed him every single play. I told him, stop putting his hand on me. And it's a run play. Don't even put your hand on me. So he put his hand on me. I pushed him again. He just fell because he weak. I mean, he's small. You know, so
Wait a minute. I don't understand. He said it's a running play. Don't put your hand on me. Well, he's supposed to block you.
Well, I don't care. If you can chump somebody into not putting their hands on you on a play that they're supposed to block, I think you win. Don't you put your hands on me. Put your hands on me. Do not put your hands on me. This is the Real Housewives of the AFC.
Yeah. If you're A.J. Green, you're a veteran like that, a Pro Bowler, I can't imagine that's bothering him. Just somebody, the DB's going, don't put your hands on me when A.J.'s supposed to block him. I do not believe that gets in A.J.'s head. Something else did.
Well, yeah, obviously, I think being told that you're weak and you're small and you can't do anything all game and you only manage one catch for 6 yards, is that what he said?
Yeah.
One catch for 6 yards. He probably told him, look, man, you know, I'm just telling him. I just told him he's weak, and that's, I'm just telling the truth. I told him, look, I seen a video on Reddit of your mama with 6 Russian guys. I mean, you know, I'm just telling him.
Because he's weak. I mean, yeah, he's small. You know, some people are mentally strong. He wasn't during the game. He wasn't mentally strong. You know, I've talked to a few of his teammates afterwards, a couple guys I know, and they had been told me, they was like, once AJ started talking back, we knew you had him because he don't ever talk. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I do every week. I knew I had him to a point, and then the stadium kind of helped me out because right before we went out there, they showed the big highlight of me locking him down. And his one catch for 6 yards. So
he likes to keep getting mad at him.
I knew he was over there boiling. His teammates say he was over there pretty mad. So if he was really about it, then he would have tried to square up with me. You know what I'm saying? But he walked behind me. And did that little
bullshit.
Well, what the hell is with the beep there? I mean, come on, people, grow the fuck up. Honest to God. You know, what probably started it was a word that you would have had to bleep, and they were just lucky that the cameras didn't catch it.
Oh, well, what do you expect from the networks? They're not going to play the word.
Well, I don't know, man. I hope so. That'd be kind of fun. But they had been told him, Tom. They had been told me that if he starts talking, you know, they had been told him that's when he got into his head.
What had happened was...
The way I saw it, nobody told me nothing.
From what they said, I didn't see anything.
Right.
But yeah, they've been told him. And he was a punk ass, and that's true. It worked. You know, he got right in his head. And granted, if he hadn't gotten thrown out of the game himself, it would have been a much better move. But he did, so, you know, whatever. He got A.J. Green out of the game, and the Jaguars kicked the crap out of the Bengals.
Well,
game over.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is why Mike Evans didn't get kicked out of the Tampa Bay game against New Orleans.
I don't understand that either.
He started a big old brawl.
Yeah, and dude, when he came flying in there, now maybe I'm going to go a little overboard here with intent, but you know what? You got a big guy with lots of tattoos. You got to expect you got freaking Gonzalez out there, and the only thing holding you back from being murdered is the fact he can't get a weapon in his hand. But honestly, you tattooed people. Anyway, when he came flying in there, dude, he hit him with two. He had his knuckles, but they weren't fists. And he got him right in the space between his shoulder pads and his helmet, right on his neck.
Yeah.
That's a targeted shot, I have to think.
And that was, it was Marshon Lattimore, DB from Ohio State. And, you know, he was defending his quarterback, but he made a mistake. Here he is.
You know, I'm going to protect my quarterback no matter what. I shouldn't have did that. You know, I shouldn't have. That was kind of malicious. I shouldn't have, you know, hit him in his back like that. Should have just shoved him away to try to break it up. But, you know, I reacted too quick. I shouldn't have did it. I just let my emotions get the best of me.
You saw the shove?
I saw the shove, and then I thought he was going after Jameis, and I was trying to protect my quarterback.
Are you concerned about discipline for that play?
Yeah, I mean, I want to play. You know, I want to help my team, but you know, he's going to do what they're going to do.
Well, yeah, and they did. They suspended him for a game. I think he knew that was key. You could tell he knew it was coming. He knew he screwed up. He knew it.
Yeah, he did. And you know what, though? If I'm a Buccaneers fan, fine by me. You know, you guys have lost five in a row. The goddamn season's over. Losing him for a game ain't going to hurt anything. But you see what kind of guy he is for your team. He stood up for his quarterback. Although, what he should have done, smarter play would have been to pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick and throw him at Lattimore, because then he doesn't get suspended.
Right.
And you really don't damage anything. But you know what? I'd be proud of him if I was a Buccaneers fan. Sucks that he gets suspended, but he is trying to defend Jameis for some stupid fucking reason. They haven't scored a touchdown. What, they scored one touchdown last week?
Well, I tell you what, after that pregame speech, I don't think I would have even wanted to be anywhere near Jameis Winston. I don't know what
that was. Ridiculous.
Man, he made, you know, you make that W, you cross your two, you know, yeah, you got four fingers, the two
it.
In
you know,
the
it's
middle.
It's how the young kids do it these days.
You cross those, and now you got a double, you make a W with your hand. And he's trying to put his entire hand, he's trying to fist his own mouth. With this W.
Oh, Jesus, that's disgusting.
All right, and while he's doing that, this is what he's yelling.
I want everybody to look at me. I'm going to pass it to corner after I say one thing. That's a W. That's E1. That's E1. That's a W. How many people want to eat a W?
W is for weak ass way to start a fight for how he plucked Marshawn Lattimore. What the fuck was that? That was like I'm sorry to say this, I'm going to sound horrible again, Tom, but when a girl at a party wants to start a fight, that's how she does it. She goes up behind somebody and smacks him on the head and gets her boyfriend fighting with him. Like that. That was a bitch hit. Did you see Deshaun Jackson's face when he was doing that W shit? When he started sticking his fingers in his mouth.
Oh, absolutely. Almost all of his teammates looked very confused.
Very confused. Like, oh my God, are we following this dude? Where's Fitzpatrick?
I mean, I was confused.
Right.
Dude, that's your throwing hand. Don't be fucking with your fingers like that.
Well, now he's out. He's going to miss at least 2 weeks with his injuries. And obviously he's been hurt for a few weeks now, Jameis. Really, he's been playing hurt, you know, with that AC joint. And now he's got something else. And
whatever. You know what? For my fantasy football team, the way I see it is the Buccaneers, man. Jesus Christ. How did Doug Martin not get any points last
week? I don't want to hear it because I got Jameis and Mike Evans. What are you bitching to me? Really? Come on.
Last week in fantasy football, I got a total of 13 points out of my running backs. And for everybody keeping score out there, we don't have a decimal point. So that's a total of 1.3 points I got out of two fucking positions.
And you're whining to me, and I had low score of the week.
I wasn't playing you. I lost to you the week before. But yeah, that was a weak-ass way to start a fight. It really was. It was a bitch-ass fucking move. And maybe it was because Lattimore went over there and said, hey, man, I thought it's video of your mama and these six Russian guys.
I just realized you said I beat you the week before. Okay, John's team's the only one worse than mine.
Oh, I'm horrible. I'm having a terrible fantasy season. I really am.
The Philadelphia Eagles, oh, God, I can't even take it anymore. It's just killing
me. You know, they haven't even started. You know, I'm getting a trickle of bullshit coming through, you know, in my feed, thanks to Ben Boyce and thanks to freaking Joe Sturr and those goddamn Eagle fans. It's Henry Chance, but he doesn't run his mouth for us anymore. But they will. They will. And it's starting to come through. The Eagle fans will start coming out of the fucking woodworks. They got a bye week this week. They got nothing to do but sit around and laugh.
51 points they hung on Denver, 51-23. Now, the Eagles were playing at home. Now, when they score a touchdown, they shoot off fireworks.
Right. That was what you call an FYNFZ game. Fuck your no-fly zone.
Well, the Eagles scored 7 touchdowns in the game, right? And right. after the 7th touchdown, no fireworks went off. The team tweeted, apologies, we ran out of fireworks.
They set a neighborhood on fire.
Oh,
you
my
know.
God. Right, yeah.
Okay. Like, oh, it's all like right. The Blitz down there. People, there's got fire brigades down underneath them trying to put out the fucking row houses, but the Eagles are rolling.
Yeah, yeah, best record in the league, blah, blah, blah. Let's move on. Yeah, I don't want to talk about them anymore. Up. All right, let's talk about the Raiders.
I'd rather talk about how the Redskins put one on the Seattle Seahawks when nobody gave them the chance. Woo!
Well, you're going to the Super Bowl, aren't you?
Well, it's possible, unless we have to play the Eagles again.
All right.
Motherfuckers, fuck them.
Oakland Raiders tight end Lee Smith He gets hit with a 15-yard personal foul penalty after he faked a hit.
What?
On, Davon Godchow of the Dolphins, right? So he acts like he's going to hit him, kind of like, you know, and, well, he and Davon are friends. All right.
That's what you say now. But honestly, the way I saw the game was that he tried to kill Godchow.
Is that right?
Yeah. He tried to take his head off. I'm now getting money under the table by the NFL's officials.
Well, here, listen to the call.
After the play, personal foul, unnecessary roughness. Offense number 86.
I was just kidding around.
Take a look. Oh, man.
Oh, he was goofing around with somebody he knew.
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, come on, man. That's just ridiculous. Did you hear him? He tried to say he was kidding. He tried to get it in before the ref, you know, the ref spoke, and before the ref could reach down and turn it off.
I was just kidding around.
And then they got him.
Right, well, because the ref had to turn it off before he went, yeah, well, fuck you, too. Nobody in this stadium likes me, so fuck you. Look, man, you know, I used to hang out in punk clubs when I was younger, right? And I used to go do what we used to call slam dance, and y'all call it mosh, and I call that a fucking a brawl. But what we used to do, honestly, if I wanted to greet somebody that I knew, we would do that. Smack fucking foreheads. Bam! We were stupid. They're 23 years old, right? How old is this guy, Godchow? Probably 25, 26.
Yeah, but he didn't even hit him.
The referees, they've got to recognize that these people that are out there on the football field are actual, real, living, breathing human beings, and they can have fun while they're playing this fucking game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. But all right, look, listen. While we're on the Raiders, this is friggin' crazy.
This is nuts.
I have been reading more about this story. And listening to the, and you know, we've talked about Miko Grimes before.
She's a freaking lunatic.
She is. Miami's so glad. Miami got rid of Grimes to get rid of her.
Right, right. We're tired of you starting fights in our goddamn parking lot drunk during tailgates.
Man, I'm trying to think of a player whose wife got involved in stuff like this and talk.
Kurt Warner.
Well, yeah, but she wasn't.
Not like this.
This is, dude, this is a pretty serious accusation.
This is, yeah, well, you know, this, in today's world, no, it's not. All you have to do anymore now is just say it. Just fucking say it. As long as you don't apologize, as long as enough people believe you, then it's real.
All right, so Grimes a DB, right? Cornerback.
Pretty good one, too.
If his wife didn't, get involved.
Well, she makes us remember his name.
Okay, well, back in week 3, Derek Carr got hurt in a Sunday night game against your Washington Redskins.
That's right. That's right. And they hit him pretty good.
They did. Now, according to Miko Grimes.
Oh, well, this is obviously something that sounds very legitimate.
The offensive line let him get hit on purpose.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, that's unconscionable. I can't. No, seriously, that's ridiculous. For one thing, the Washington Redskins right now have the longest active streak in the NFL of games with a sack. Did you realize that?
No.
Yeah. Nope. Not many people do. The motherfuckers get after a quarterback nowadays.
What's that get you?
It got me absolutely jack shit and nothing. But hey, if it's worked for Philadelphia Eagle fans for so many years, it'll work for me for a while. Anyway, you remember that when you tweet me when you're 8-1, bitch. That doesn't mean anything yet. Anyway, they hit him. Look, the way it wasn't that they all hit him. That wasn't what got him hurt. It was the way he got twisted. And if you can tell me there's an offensive lineman out there that can assure me that I'm going to get him hit in such a way that his back is going to get wide open, exposed, and wrenched around like that, you know, that's a pretty good trick.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good trick. Anyway, Donald Penn tweeted right away that was another complete laughably piece of bullshit. I think I believe him.
You know, we'd like to avoid all the protests and the political crap, but then Miko Grimes goes and says this.
But the reason Derek Carr got injured is because the Raiders offensive line allowed him to get injured because he was against them protesting. And they had a fight in the locker room before that Monday night game in the Raiders. Yes, I caught the tea, baby. They were fighting in the locker room. And that's the only all-black offensive line in the NFL is the Raiders.
Now, I've seen stuff like that in movies. That happens in real life?
That happened in real life. It just happened. So they were in the locker room. Derek Carr is a Bible thumper to the fullest. Mm-hmm. And so he was basically trying to force the players to read the Bible before the game and do all this stuff. And they were like, no, you, that's you. And so he was so upset about it when the whole offensive line was saying they were going to kneel. He was like, I'm not, no, you're not kneeling. No, this is America. You're going to stand for the flag and blah, blah, blah. And they got in a fight in the locker room. So when they came out to play, they basically had a plan like, you know what?
You don't want to nail with us, we're going to make
it. So this was last year?
No, this happened this year.
I thought Derek Carr got hurt last year, too.
No, he just came back last week.
Okay, got you.
See, he was injured. That was from that.
Really?
Really? Well, you know, if she says it, I kind of believe her, Tom, because, you know, when she says that they got in a fight in the locker room, who else could probably tell me other than Miko Grimes, who has no business knowing anything about what happens in any locker room?
Well, I mean, if her husband was there and witnessed it and told her.
Her husband plays for the Buccaneers. What's he doing in the Raiders locker room?
Oh, well, that's true.
What the? Hey, I'm a pirate, too, so I get to come in there. So it sounds to me like she's accusing... She's accusing Derek Carr, of God squadding with the offensive line, who, it appears to me, Tom, we're going to go ahead and call it right here. The Oakland Raiders offensive line is a bunch of godless sons of bitches.
Damn atheists.
That's right. And, you know, right. So I'm to believe that Derek Carr is forcing the Bible down these guys' throats.
Have you been watching, by any chance, you watching Young Sheldon?
No. Oh, I haven't watched Young Sheldon, no.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Sheldon from Big Bang Theory as a kid. And he's going to church with his mom, and he keeps arguing with the preacher, telling him he's wrong. You know, he's preaching stuff, and he's like, nope, that's wrong. And he gets up, and goes up and tells him right in front of everybody in the church why this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and that doesn't make sense, and you can't prove this, and he's unbelievable. All right, well,
let me just say real quick for the people in the future that are listening to this show, and I'd say, oh, I don't know, maybe a year and a half's time when the theocracy is taken over, Tom doesn't mean that he was actually watching a young child, so there's no chance that we can be sued or accused of anything. Because it seems that's the way it is nowadays.
Oh, my God. Hollywood is a disaster.
Good. It's about time.
I know.
You know, look, here's what I'm going to say to our audience, and in particular our audience. You dorks and lovable geeks out there, you're about to get laid because here it is. The revolution of the nice guy is coming. That's it. You guys are about to get laid. Daniel Schell, even you can defy God's word.
All right, let's move on. Miko Grimes, I don't know, but if that's true, wow. If it's not true, that's a serious accusation. That's like accusing a guy of domestic violence and suspending him when you have no proof.
Honest to God, that's absolute trash. However, Ezekiel Elliott, what he could do is what Miko Grimes is obviously trying to do, because Miko Grimes understands that in the modern world, you don't have to have a shred of proof about anything. All you have to do is be loud enough that other people can't get a word in edgewise, and then people start to believe you, and you can turn it into a stupid fucking goddamn talk show at 10 o'clock in the morning every other Thursday on the WB.
Right.
Right. And that's what she's trying to do. That's what she's trying to do. Because to think that any professional athlete is going to do something like that, it not only any professional, but you're going to get five guys to do that? That's ridiculous.
After the Panthers won, you know, again, it's the same thing. The Panthers lose. Cam Newton doesn't want to talk to the media. Cam Newton's all pouting and, you know, harumphing and walking out of press conferences. Boy, they win. He's right there at that microphone ready to go. But he was talking about Devin Funchess, wide receiver. He was talking about him stepping up because, you know, he wasn't happy when they traded Kelvin Benjamin to the Bills. Cam Newton did not like that at all.
Oh, I know. I guess he didn't like that at all because it was the one guy on the team who he was almost as big as.
Right. Exactly.
Benjamin was huge.
He is a beast, man.
He is. I don't know why they did that. It made no sense to me.
Well, it didn't to Cam, but this is what he said.
He's just growing into that role, and that's what you love to see. You know, yeah, we just lost a great player, but nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
Well, wait a minute. Does he know what happens when the Titanic goes?
Well, no, that's why I said we're getting a new history lesson from Cam.
Oh. All right, because you know what? I'll tell you what. Well, my prediction of the Chiefs defeating the Panthers in the Super Bowl could mean exactly what he is foretelling that I'm right, Tom.
The Titanic still has to go.
That's right. Alex Smith is your iceberg, big boy. He's coming. Well, you got to play the sound of the iceberg scraping over the hull. You know, I was thinking, as a matter of fact, the other day that we ought to do a once a year show where we don't do anything but put together 60 minutes of sound effects. Right. You don't even have to do anything. Just throw them on the timeline and end it at 60 minutes, and we'll put it out as a show. There you go. Captain, what was that? It sounds like an ice bag. Cam Newton is here. Captain Cam. All right. Anyway, I'm not going to do that. I have got to get a goddamn TV capture card so that I can record some Michael Irvin. I keep saying that, but I've always got other things to do. I forget what half of these are.
It doesn't matter.
I guess not.
It just
really doesn't, does it?
Doesn't matter. Nope.
I think it would be fun just to have an hour-long show of you reading the titles of what you called these things. What did you call that? Yeah. What do you call that?
That's called cuggle uggle.
I remember when that happened. They were out on that stupid little field that they have that's built into the floor about 10 years ago on that show. And he was out there pretending he was getting ready to run a route. And that was his sound effect for making the move on the guy that was in front of him, who was not Steve Mariucci at the time. I can't remember who they had on that show back then. It was a while ago. Trips down memory lane.
Didn't Dion used to be on there?
He used to be for about 5 minutes, and I'm glad because I really get tired of listening to how Dion thinks he just know it all. And, you know, I tell you what, Tom, I hope he hears this so that he will come back at me as hard as he did last week.
Well, speaking of that and Dion, Tony Romo was doing the Cowboys-Chiefs game Sunday for CBS, and he was commenting on this play where Chiefs cornerback Marcus Peters, he made a pretty lame attempt at tackling Zeke.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's a pretty big back.
Yeah, and so Romo...
He's going to be sitting in an easy chair for the next 6 weeks.
Romo commented on that, and he makes a joke about how bad Dion was at tackling.
Peters doesn't want to tackle. That's one of the things I'm telling you. He's really good out there at the corner off coverage, but in tackling?
Not his thing.
No, and he makes Deion Sanders look good at tackling sometimes.
Man, you took
Jim Nance
shot.
Is the one that said it.
Huh?
Jim Nance is the one that indicated that Deion Sanders was not a good tackler by saying what he said initially.
Wait a minute.
Peters doesn't want to tackle. That's one of the things I'm telling you. He's really good out there at the corner off coverage, but in tackling?
Not his thing.
No, and he makes Deion Sanders right look good at tackling sometimes.
He said not his thing.
Exactly. That right there indicates the entire story is about somebody who can't tackle, and just bringing up Deion Sanders is a logical progression.
Jeez.
So, there you go.
I can't believe I went back and played that whole clip again for you making that damn joke.
What do you mean joke? That is a scientific piece of analysis right there.
Yeah, that's true. It's a joke, but it's a joke because it's true.
That's right. This is how human beings communicate, Tom.
Okay, well, you know, I think Dion knows that, all right? He knows, and that's okay, but...
Yeah, he did. He called him business decisions, remember?
But if you're going to attack Dion and that's all you got, you better not have... stuff that Dion can rip on you for, because when you do, this is what happens in the post-game show.
I tried my best to take the high road. I don't know the address to the high road, so I got to come at you, man. 10 years as a starter, you're 2-4 in the playoffs. You ain't won nothing. I tried to bury the hatchet. Both of us work for CBS. I went and shook your hand and say, Tony, you're doing a great job this year. I thought that would be it. But nevertheless, you keep on shooting at me. Tony, what's going on, man? I got a gold jacket that I didn't buy. Dak says hi and bye. Tony, leave me alone, man. I got a lot of ammunition, man. How many interceptions? 19 in 2012? Come on, man. You threw to everybody but me. Tony, come on, man. You know you never won the big one. You know you never won the big one. So stop, man. Leave me alone. I tried to take the high road, but I don't know the address.
He never won the little ones either, did he?
No, not really.
See, Tony Romo fucked up several times The first being when he fumbled that fucking snap on that field goal try against Seattle. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I remember that? I see it every year. Are you kidding? It's all. It's always on. Always on.
I know. I just wanted to bring it up for a second there. That's all. Besides, it's safer for Romo to say that than to say, like, DeMarcus Ware. Because DeMarcus Ware can kick his ass.
Man, I got a gold jacket that I didn't buy. Dak says hi and bye.
That is a good one. Yeah, you don't fuck with Deion Sanders. Not because he's got a gold jacket that he didn't buy. It's because he makes a living running his mouth. He made a living running his mouth then, and he can back it up. When you can back it up and you can run your mouth, you are a monster that gets a gold jacket that you don't have to buy.
Right.
Right. See, I can run my mouth, but the only thing I'm backing up is a podcast, and we're doing great. But I don't know if they give yellow jackets for podcasts.
God, take that shot at Deion. Deion's got rings with multiple teams. Deion's got...
including yours.
Got touchdown returns off of interceptions, punt returns for touchdowns, kickoff returns for touchdowns, receptions for touchdowns. The guy is primetime. There is nobody out there. That was all people ever had on him. I mean, it's the oldest joke out there when it comes to Deion is, oh, look, he can't tackle. Oh, he whiffs on tackles on purpose. Who cares? There's nobody who wouldn't have loved to have had him on their team. If that's the only, he didn't have to tackle.
It's not even a matter of whether he had to tackle. He's not out there for his tackling ability.
No.
If your cornerback is out there because he's a great tackler, then you don't have a very good cornerback. He's going to get beat. Sanders didn't get beat. That was what he was out there to do, was to stop your wide receiver.
And he did every time. He would shut every damn one of them down.
Or as a person, you know, I get tired of listening to him on NFL Today because, honestly, if he does this, if you ball, you get to call. I'm like, dude, it's 11:30. Who the fuck are you calling me for? God damn it. But, There's stories of him at Florida State with his charity work where he didn't tell anybody what he was doing. You can look it up and find out all the stuff that he did. It's not on his own pages. He won't tell you about it. But it's other things that he's done that people don't talk about. Right. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is.
You know, somebody will find a reason to tear him down off of a pedestal because that's all anybody does anymore. But overall, good guy.
All right. Let's move on to this, and I'm sorry, John. You're going to hear this a lot in this next clip, and I know it offends you.
I know.
All right, but this is
I can live with it.
This is a Portuguese radio call. They're calling this game and the Steelers game, and they have a receiver catches a touchdown, and this is what it sounded like.
Três recebedores. Formação full house ali, o Big Ben vai pro lançamento, acerta o alvo, Juju, 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 touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers! Juju, Smith, Schuster!
Oh, he forgot, he's got to say the rest of his name. Could you imagine if he tried to say Juju Smith-Schuster every time he went down the field?
Oh, my gosh.
Because play that again. Let me count them.
Juju, 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 Juju.
Seven.
Seven? Seven. All right. He catches the ball. And when he starts yelling Juju, if you see this video, if you want to see it, give me a holler. I'll show it to you on Twitter. But I don't like to share these things before we put them on the show so everybody sees the joke ahead of time. But the fact of the matter is he starts yelling Juju at the 45-yard line. So hit it again. We got seven of them from the 45-yard line.
Juju! 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 Juju!
All right, Tom, based on my calculations, an NFL football field in Brazil is approximately 11 Juju's long. So, there's that. We learned something today, children.
Juju! Smith! Schuster!
That's terrific, man.
Pittsburgh Steelers!
Yes.
All right, if it's not apparent yet, we love the foreign calls of NFL football games. We love them! So... Anybody that's got any more of them, keep sending them over to us. Tweet me at Bang Radio Hour. Send them to us on our Facebook page. Or actually, send me a personal message on Facebook, John Taman, and you know, send it over to me that way. That way the rest of the listeners don't get to see it. And if I choose it to use it, you can feel like you win a secret prize.
Mein lieber Schwan, hat der einen abgekriegt.
That's right. That's right. As a matter of fact, we'll get that guy to sign a photo for you.
Hum, hum.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get Daniel Schell to sign a photo for you, and that'll be the new. He'll be the new show mascot. He's the guy's got 7 years almost worth of virginity to work off. Tom, I think the guy needs something to do.
All right. So again, with the damn protest and the politics, you know, we heard from Papa John's CEO John Schnatter. Yeah. He was afraid that you know, pizza sales were down because of the protesting in the NFL, you know, because they are, you know, everybody sees Papa John's commercials and Peyton Manning and all that and in the NFL games. Well, when he criticized the NFL for not stopping players from protesting, he picked up a whole new customer base.
I read about this. I would like to congratulate Papa John's on their new customer base.
That base are white supremacists.
No, you can't call them that, Tom. There's good guys among that group.
Oh, yes. Well, Schnatter's comments, you know.
Schnatter's comments.
The alt-right went, hey, this is a guy we can get behind. We're going to support Papa John's pizza. Well, there's a website called the Daily Stormer.
Yeah. Careful, dude. Careful. I don't want these people writing us.
Well, they referred to the NFL as the Negro Felon League.
Well, that's one of the few terms that I've heard.
And they have now claimed Papa John's as the official pizza of the alt-right.
Well, that's terrific for Papa John's stock, I'm sure.
No, and they realized that, and Papa John said, okay, well, there is something worse than being associated with the NFL, and their public relations guy released a statement saying, quote, we condemn racism in all forms and any and all hate groups that support it. We do not want these individuals or groups to buy our pizza.
Good. Let them go hungry. Hey, you know what? Daily Stormer was that website that started up that thing that was started in Charlottesville. They had something. They were integral in that. I'm not going to get well into it because I really don't feel like listening to the frogheads yell at me and tell me they're going to put me in an oven. But they were thrown off of Google almost immediately after that because of violation of their terms of service for spreading hatred through their website. They tried to re-up their domain through GoDaddy, who said, no, we would rather you not be here. So I think now they are being hosted, if I remember the last thing I read, was they are being hosted from a company in, hey, what do you know, Russia. You know, they're our friends, though, Tom.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that politics has, I'm about tired of it infecting every part of our fucking lives. And I think that they do it just so they can fucking do it. These morons that can't get out of it. They can't stop talking about it. They got to put it in the middle of every motherfucking thing that there is anymore.
You mean people like Vin Scully?
I have only one personal thought, really. And I am so disappointed. And I used to love during the fall and winter to watch the NFL on Sunday. And it's not that I'm some great patriot. I was in the Navy for a year, didn't go anywhere, didn't do anything. But I have overwhelming respect and admiration for anyone who puts on a uniform and goes to war. So the only thing I can do in my little way is not to preach. I will never watch another NFL game.
4-4 there, Tom. I think that it doesn't make any difference whether you watch another NFL game because the chances are pretty high that you won't make it till Sunday.
Jeez.
Look, you know, all that tells me is you ain't listening. If that's what you still think it's about, you aren't listening. And if you do think it's about that, you've been distracted.
Yeah.
And that's all I want to say on it anymore. I'm tired of that shit infecting everything that we have that's fun.
I don't want to hear another word.
All right.
That's right. Tom, did you know that playgrounds were fucking built by people that were assisting the Nazis? Playgrounds.
That right.
Oh, my God. Your kids are infected.
I will never go to a playground again.
I will never do anything again. I swear to God, from what I know, for everything I know, based on wind currents and government HAARP experiments, the air that I'm breathing was over Russia last week. And that means I could be a fucking goddamn communist, Tom.
Are you going to catch communism?
I'm not going to breathe anymore. I'm boycotting air.
All right. Before we get to email, I did want to mention this crazy story out of Florida State, man. You know, we hear about hazing. We've heard about it, you know, over in throughout history, but especially with football teams, you know. And I also hear hazing is unreal in the military.
When they catch enemy soldiers, you should see how they haze them.
Jesus. hazing has taken an innocent life. A 20-year-old student named Andrew Coffey at Florida State was pledging a fraternity, and he died on Friday night at one of their events. And I didn't get any more details on what happened. I don't even know if they know for sure what happened or if they'll ever know. More news that might have come out. I got this story like 2 days ago, so I don't know if more news has come out since then. But the school took serious action. Every single fraternity and sorority on campus has been suspended indefinitely.
Wow. Florida State's a big school.
Yeah, it's huge, man.
It's a huge school, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't – man, they were just – he was pledging. He was pledging at the – I mean, how do you end up dead?
Because kids are stupid, Tom. That's why. Because kids are stupid. And we have a culture that rewards goddamn stupidity. Oh, come on, Tom. Who don't get drunk and kill somebody when they're in college? I mean, come on. This is goddamn America, Tom. Getting pissed drunk and one of you dies, that's your goddamn right.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
We are a desensitized culture, Tom. I blame video games. That's what it is.
Is that it?
That's what it is.
Oh, man.
Nah, come on. Seriously. Hey, who ain't done that? Who ain't had a couple of beers and said to your buddy, hey, I'm going to shove your ass over the balcony?
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Right.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? When I was younger, man, we did all kinds of stuff when I was in college. Not dang sure pledged the goddamn fraternity. And if there's one thing I know for sure, it's that our oath holds true. And our oath is never tell nobody where the other pledge is buried.
Well, the president of the university said for this suspension to end, there will need to be a new normal for Greek life at the university. There must be a new culture, and our students must be full participants in creating it.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
Right. Tell them, Bluto.
Greek society could be taken all kinds of ways nowadays, Tom. It could be a society developed to worship, certain parts of the body that other people deem unclean, or it could be a society that's built on government assistance that they can't afford and then has riots when their banks all foreclose.
Right.
Or it could be a society built on a bunch of muscular men running around wearing rags, basically, grabbing any woman that they could find.
Toga!
Right.
Oh, Hercules, you have once again drank too much beer.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
You know who that was, right? That was Roger Goodell.
The time has come for someone to put his foot down, and that foot is me.
God damn, that foot is me. Let me tell you something, boy. That Arthur Blank and that Roger Goodell, they's going down.
Oh, God, Jerry's going to sue them. Jerry's turning into Al Davis, John. This is terrible.
That's right. This is how you do things. God damn it, Al Davis won Super Bowls. Remember that, Tom, when he was in the middle of all that bullshit? He won Super Bowls, and that's what I'm talking about. If there's one thing I want to do before I die, it's A, win a Super Bowl, and number two, I want to play polo with Roger Goodell's goddamned head.
All right, we got any email?
We do. We have lots of email this week.
Cool.
All right, this week we've got an email from Andrea from Atlanta. Ooh, hello, a female listener. Tom, you know how rare that is?
John, you act like you've never seen a girl before.
I have seen a girl before, and as I recall, you had something that you wanted to discuss that you were making fun of me on the phone about last night.
Well, okay.
Okay, so now it comes out.
Now, I stopped you because I didn't want to hear anymore until we were doing the show so everybody could hear it with me.
Okay, let's go for it. While we're waiting, sorry, Andrea, you have to take a back seat just for a moment. Be a good lass. We'll be right to
you. We'll get to you. We'll get to you. All right, so it was your wife's birthday.
That's right. I'm not going to say when or how old because she's right now pointing the gun at me.
Yeah, I don't expect you to. Now, obviously, I know you're going to tell me something amazing that you did for her, but...
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to say that on the podcast. Daniel Shell's not allowed to do anything like that for at least 6.5 more years. I don't want to hurt the kid.
Well, here's all I know, okay? This is the only thing that I know is what you got her for her birthday.
That's right.
The gift.
I'm not going to back away.
What did you get her for her birthday, John?
I got a thing called a Quick Pot, which is a pressure cooker crock pot.
Yeah.
Pressure cooker crock pot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can make crock pot meals in it that take all day in about a half an hour. The fucking thing is badass.
You going to get her an awesome vacuum for Christmas?
No, I will not do that. But see, you got to understand. See, this is what you started laughing about. You want to try to give me this stuff. But let's back up a little bit. What were you doing when we were talking on the phone?
I don't know.
How did this even come up? You were making dinner.
Oh, I was making dinner. Why?
All right. So I was telling, that's how it even came up. I was going to say, hey, Tom, you know, you can get yourself this awesome thing. And the way I got this for my wife, let me tell you, fellas, I have it made. Because all I do is, you know, come November when sales start, my wife goes and buys herself whatever the hell she wants. And I go, happy birthday. There you go. Happy birthday.
She went and bought it?
She loves it. Dude, my wife is, A, the easiest person to buy for at Christmas, and B, the hardest person to buy for at Christmas, because and her birthday, because she goes and buys whatever the fuck she wants anyway. And then I just say, well, okay, that was what I was going to get you. Now all I'm reduced to is buying you something that makes no sense, so happy birthday. She gets herself whatever she wants, so I don't ever lose.
So she actually went and bought this pot?
She bought it for herself. Look, so she gets it for herself. I got it made.
Now it's no fun anymore.
Well, of course it's not, because now it's not that I'm some stupid idiot I'm not Jackie Gleason over here.
Damn it.
I got my wife a dustpan, Tom. It matches the broom.
All right. Is that it? That's it? That's her birthday. She got herself a pot.
See, what I got out of it is I've gotten several weeks worth of delicious meals while she experiments with it and plays with it.
What the hell? You didn't even have to get off your ass to go get the damn present.
You got that right,
oh,
baby.
Oh, my God.
I got to tell you what, man. Anybody that wants lessons, I can start a whole new podcast.
Yeah.
See, now Tom's going to have a whole other conversation after we finish the show. All right, Andrea from Atlanta, who's been patiently waiting like a good girl over there on the sideline. See, here I go being sounded like, hey, banging the other guy. So, apparently she's been listening for a while. You guys used to talk about college football a lot. So, yeah, she has. But lately it's only Big Ten if you bring it up at all. Well, now both of your loser teams are out of it, and the SEC is showing its dominance again. So how about some love for the real college football, Georgia Bulldogs all the way? You know what? Fuck this girl.
Why? What do you mean?
I'm just kidding. No, I'm just teasing.
She's got a point. She's got a very valid point.
She does. She's got a very valid point. And I can't say anything because, you know, and I didn't say anything. Didn't I tell you that Penn State had been playing nobodies? The one time they played anybody, which is Iowa, they had to fight to win. So the second they play a serious team, Ohio State, they get their asses handed to them. And then Michigan State hands their ass to them, which tells me two things. Number one, Penn State's exactly what I thought they were. And number two, Michigan fucking sucks.
You know, the thing is, they had to fight like hell to beat Iowa. I wish Ohio State would have had to have fought like hell to beat Iowa.
Oh, I didn't mean to bring that up. Sorry.
How did that happen? John, think about this.
No.
Think about this. Here you and I were all excited going into the weekend before last.
It was the bankpocalypse.
It was. And here we are at Penn State's number two, Ohio State's number six. They give us maybe the best college game of the entire season. Okay.
Shut up. It sucked. It was terrible.
And then both of us turn around and lay a fucking egg.
Well, dude, imagine my what the Penn State Nittany Lions needed was your team to lose. That's what they needed, and all of a sudden you did. Now, I mean, granted, Penn State lost first, but fucking A, man. Jesus Christ. So they don't deserve it, they haven't deserved it, and that's all there is to it.
All right, well, Andrea from Atlanta, please end Alabama for me.
Yes.
I will root for Georgia all the way. Just
yep.
Just end Alabama. And, you know, I'm telling her this as if she doesn't want to and hasn't thought about it. You know Georgia fans want to crush Alabama.
Maybe she's a linebacker.
I used to have this thing against the SEC until Ohio State beat them, until Ohio State beat Alabama in the playoffs and they went on and crushed Oregon. So now I know we can hang with them when our team is where it needs to be, and that's great. So I don't have the hate for the SEC. And now they've kind of, you know, they're not getting the same bias love that I felt like they were getting, you know, several years ago. Have you seen that shift a little?
Well, yeah, but at the same time, they had I think they still have an exclusive contract with CBS to broadcast their games.
Well, I don't care about that.
In the last couple of years. No, I don't care about that either, but that's going to definitely sway public opinion when they're on TV more. That's why you're a Cowboy fan.
You know what? Growing up in Ohio, man, the Cowboys were on more than the Browns and the Bengals here in Columbus.
That's right. That's what I'm exactly saying, and that's why there's more Cowboys fans and Steelers fans than anybody, because in the 70s, when Pete Rozelle pushed the NFL onto TV real big and big, that's who the teams were that were dominant. So they were on TV more than anybody.
Right.
And just as a fact of the matter, if you ever see one of those old photographs where it looks like the Cowboys are wearing green pants, they were. Because of the way the TV cameras captured it, it looks silver on TV.
Well,
How about that? There you go.
All right, Andrea, go Dogs. Go Dogs.
All right, the next email comes from Richard Sherman's Achilles, and its comment is, oh, snap. Now, see, that's just not funny. I'm serious. This is a human being, you know? Oh, snap, from Richard Sherman's Achilles. Now, see, that's the kind of emails we actually like, people. Be creative. That was good. I don't know who that was, but that was fantastic. If you write us in next week and tell it was you, I might give you a prize.
They were dropping like flies in that game, man. They carted off Chancellor. They lost the offensive tackle that, remember the one I said that Houston left
the one that
there?
They just traded from. Yeah,
yeah, from traded Houston. For. The left tackle, he went down. Right. Sherman's out for the year, man.
Yeah, that's an Achilles, man. That's the hardest one to deal with, I think. That one takes a year. That one's not like some kind of miracle surgery. You just don't fix that thing. So, and I'll tell you this, too. Right now, Thursday night football is under fire. CBS said that was the reason that the ratings are down, because football is oversaturated, which you've been hearing here on the Bang Radio Hour for I don't know how long now. And even though these are better games, they're giving us good games on Thursday, what we have both been saying since the beginning when they first announced that they were going to do this is that the players, you can't handle this, man. They just can't handle this physically, especially if you're going to go taking training camp basically out of the equation for any kind of physicality whatsoever. So now you're losing stars. Y'all want to look at each and say, okay, well, why are we losing ratings? It's because you're losing players, that people that are on the casual side.
And you're saying that's it. So Richard Sherman got hurt because it was Thursday night. Is that what you're telling me?
I can't say that it's not, but we're seeing a big time rash of injuries as it increases, and players are bitching. They don't want to do it anymore.
Friggin' Deshaun Watson went down in practice on a Wednesday. So what? They shouldn't practice on Wednesdays because look what happens.
Well, no, he should practice on a Wednesday. But typically, by and large, over the course of a football season, we know that it takes a hell of a toll on a body, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's say your team has to play in early December on Thursday, so you get 4 days rest. Now, see, you're kind of used to this because you're a Cowboy fan and you guys have to play on Thanksgiving every year. So every year you have a 4-day window where your guys have to get healthy and be able to play, and it puts teams at a disadvantage. Injuries happen. Your team gets – you're not ready.
I don't know. Michael Irvin always said practice was harder than game day. Practice on Wednesday and Thursday was harder and more physical than the game on Sunday.
Back then, they were allowed to practice. Nowadays, practice is when they get on a phone and they Skype and they go, all right, so I'm supposed to cut left right now. And then the other guy goes, all right, I threw it. And then somebody rolls some dice and they go, there you go, it's complete. They play Dungeons and Dragons, and that's practice.
All right, what else we got?
All right, we got Frank in Philly. Frank in Philly. I'm impressed, Tom, because so far Frank and Philly are both spelled properly. It says, fly, Eagles, fly. Fuck the Redskins and the Cowboys can die. Fly, Eagles, fly. Not even going to bother bringing up Eli. So that's good. He's rhyming. That's nice.
Eli?
Yeah, well, fly, Eagles, fly. In Carson, we trust. It's Super Bowl or bust. Fly, Eagles, fly. I don't know what's sweeter than going to the hood with Doug fucking Peterson.
Well, that was fucking stupid.
Oh, my God. Doug fucking Peterson.
Doug fucking Peterson!
Right.
They're going to the hood.
We're going to the hood.
I don't know what's sweeter than going to the hood with Doug fucking Peterson. Frank in Philly. All right, everybody. The bar is being set pretty high. The end of the season is coming up. I want some emails like this. This is terrific. I love it. All right, Daniel El-Majid, who writes to us a lot. This guy's been with us for a long fucking time. He's one of our favorite friends over there on the Facebook page. He is a Vikings fan living in Idaho. So he wants to know if I want to do a prop bet with him for this week for the frickin' Redskins versus the Vikings. And he wants to bet something small. And he says, how about we change our Twitter avatars to the winner's team? Like if I win at Bang Radio Hour, I have a Vikings logo of my choosing for the week. And if your team wins, it's damn, I have a Redskins logo. I mean, that's all well and good, I guess. But see, the fact of the matter.
Is that what he sounds like?
No. I'm sure he doesn't. He's a pretty big dude, so. I just decided that's what he sounds like for this bet. A Twitter handle. I don't know. I mean, I think people, let's see. Chances are we're going to have this show out Saturday afternoon. All right. So Sunday, the Redskins play the Vikings at what? 4 o'clock? Is that one of the late games? I don't even know. Is it a 1 o'clock game? I don't even know. But by the time the Redskins and the Vikings kick off, somebody give us a better suggestion for a bet than that. It's all fine. But, you know, the Twitter handle, at Bang Radio Hour, is specifically for the Radio Hour, and that's it. If I changed it to the Vikings, people might get the wrong idea, and I'll get put on all kinds of, you know, when you're cruising in Minneapolis lists or something like that.
Yeah, they might think we're retarded or something. They see that Vikings logo over there, man. What?
Hooray! I'm going to blow the horn!
Yay! Yay!
Hooray! Hooray! Randy Moss is my favorite. I hope the Redskins pull off another miracle win. That would be nice, but I don't think it's really a miracle win if you beat Case Keenum. That's all there is to it.
Well, they cost me my bet last week. As you recall, I took the Seahawks -7 because I thought, and it was only because you guys were so beat up, but man, you pulled that up.
Don't make excuses to me.
No, I just told you why last week, why I took that. But of course you, perfect as usual, Saints -6 and a half, Colts +6.5, you went 2-0.
I thought that those were obvious bets, and that's the thing. I think I've been taking what I think are obvious bets, but I think that most people that are out there that are losing their money this year, they don't see things like the Jets as obvious. I don't know why. Those dudes are fucking rolling. They might not be winning games, but they're playing tight.
I'm definitely taking them. They're -2.5 at the Buccaneers, who don't have Mike Evans, who don't have Jameis Winston, although that might help them.
Well, they're in New York. They're not in Tampa Bay, are they? I thought they were in New York.
Oh, I thought it was at Tampa.
I'm not 100% sure. Let me check the website.
I don't care. I don't care which one, where it is.
Nope, they're in Tampa.
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
That means I have to rewrite my joke for the Bang Radio Hour Sunday prediction, which was going to be that Ryan Fitzpatrick enjoys showing all the rookies around whenever they go on the road to the places in each stadium where he's thrown critical interceptions.
Well, it's a good thing you let me from making you having you sound. Boy, I sound stupid trying to keep you from sounding stupid.
Well, no, I would sound stupider. See how we sound? We're not even stupider. It's not even a word.
All right, I got the 49ers +2.5 over the Giants, who are going to be in San Francisco. Yes, the 49ers, John, get their first win and leave Cleveland as the sole survivor of the winless season.
Boy, that is a bold prediction, because every time I seem to think that the 49ers are going to win, which, by the way, was only once and it was last week, they don't.
Right. Well, this time, though, John, hey, look, let me tell you something. Ben McAdoo, they say he's lost the locker room. All right.
Oh, really?
Well, not only has he lost the locker room, he doesn't even know what to say at this point. Listen to this. They asked him what he told his team at halftime. Listen to this.
What did you say to them at halftime?
Dude, he's just looking around like he has no idea where he's at or what's going on. And finally, another guy asked him a question. He didn't, I mean, what?
You know what? I commend him for his honesty. They asked him what he said to his team at halftime, and he told them verbatim. There you go. That was it. It might have been followed by, we got about 12 and a half minutes left, guys, if you want to get some water.
Wow. So, yeah.
I couldn't be happier. I really couldn't be happier.
I know.
It's one of the saving graces of the football season is that they are so fucking bad.
I know.
And, you know, the only bad thing about it is the Eagles are so fucking good.
Well, regardless, give me the 49ers plus 2.5.
I think that's a risky bet. I don't know if I'd bet on the 49ers because I just can't trust them.
I'm telling you.
Are they going to play Garoppolo this week, you think?
No, I don't know. I don't know if we'll see him all year.
What are you going to lose? Now, the conspiracy theory line thinks that they're going to trade Garoppolo to the Redskins for Kirk Cousins.
Like now? Like in the trade deadline passed.
No, I mean over the offseason. They're going to go ahead and make some kind of like a sign and swap or some shit. Who the hell knows? It's all conspiracy theories. All kinds of shit has to happen.
That's there's no way that's going to happen.
I know it's no way it's going
to
happen.
Because they would have to put – how much would they have to pay him if they tagged him this year?
Oh, if they tag him again this year? Holy shit. I think they have to pay him something like $750 million.
No team is going to take that.
Right, but see, now the prediction that I read today of some clown on, I can't even remember the website, but he was really just making shit up out of his ass, says the Redskins are going to fall into the trap this year and sign Sam Bradford in the offseason.
Oh, good.
At which point, I will, when you read about this, I will, when you see Adam Schefter and he says, a fan has defecated in a bag and mailed it to the Redskins, the building was evacuated, that is me. You signed Sam Bradford there, Mr. Snyder. You can expect a package delivery from me. Jeez. And I'm going to send it overnight so it's still warm. All right, so you got the Giants and or you got the 49ers and the Jets.
And the Rams minus 11 against the visiting Texans. Man, talk about a team that was sky was the limit. They lose Deshaun Watson, and it is ugly in Houston.
Look, the sky is still the limit. They just can't get their feet off the ground anymore. That's the difference.
So Niners plus 2.5, Jets minus 2.5, Rams minus 11.
You're not a believer in old Tom Savage, are you?
Oh, God, he's horrible.
Tom Savage. You know, I think I would have liked it better if they'd have named him something like Dirk Awesome.
All right, what are you taking?
All right, I am going to stick with the guys that I've been rolling with all year that have been making me lots of money, which is the Saints. And I'm going to go ahead and give 3 points. To the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, I'll take that bet because...
Ooh, that's in Buffalo.
I know it's in Buffalo, but you know what? The Saints' defense is sneaky good, man. People still remember the first couple of games where they were really bad, but they are sneaky good now. It is in Buffalo. The weather's not going to be that bad. Dude, Drew Brees is on fire. He's on fire. The fact of the matter is Tyrod Taylor's not going to be able to keep up. I'm going to take the Saints, giving 3.
I ain't
going
to argue with you. Not the way you've been going this year.
I'm surprised you didn't jump on this. I'm going to take the Cowboys plus 3 all day long against the sorry fuck, I don't know where my offense went, Atlanta fucking Falcons. Fuck them. I think people are scared because Zeke is suspended.
Like you still got that offensive line and your boy Alfred Morris. Here we go.
Alfred Morris can if there's one thing that Alfred Morris knows how to do, it's find a hole and get through it.
Yep.
That sumbitch will shimmy his way through the defensive line and he will slam into linebackers all fucking day. By the time the third quarter runs around, they're like, you know what, dude, we don't even want to part of you anymore.
All right.
I hate that.
I love it.
I'm going to take the Cowboys plus 3 and I'm going to take the Patriots and I'm giving 7.5 points.
Oh, yeah, Denver.
Yeah, Denver's offense or their defense is. Did you see that? Did you see the block the right tackle from the Eagles put on?
Dude, I saw the guy. There's a guy in our league, the Beantown Bashers.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Tom Brady.
He beat me last week.
He's got Tom Brady on his roster.
on a bye.
No, I know, but this week he's starting Matthew Stafford because New England's playing at Denver, and I'm like, whatever Denver team you saw the first 4 weeks of the season is gone.
They don't exist. Yeah, their defense. Look, man, it was Chris Long, I think it was, their right tackle. Is that who the Eagles' right tackle is? I don't know. But he took Von Miller, and he fucking spun his ass like a little boy into the ground. It was ridiculous. You'll have to see it. Dude, there's a thing that you should watch that I freaking put on our Facebook page. It's called The Most Disrespectful Blocks of the Week. It's terrific.
All right, so you got Saints minus 3, Cowboys plus 3, Pats minus 7.5.
That's right.
All right.
So far, I've lost one game this year.
Yeah, I know. That's it. One, man. I've lost about 3, but I've got plenty of money.
Hey, you're doing good. You're doing good.
We've both won plenty of money this year, so I can afford to lose one or two now. You know, it's not that big a deal. As long as I win more than I lose, which I've been doing.
Christmas is going to be nice around this household.
Yes, yes. And we'll do it again next time.
Later.
And there's Eli with the interception to seal the loss. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait.
I only can control what I can control. When there's not much I can control, it's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Ain't a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquitoes.